Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Francie Gorman, president of the IFA, is here with me in the studio. Hello, Francis.
Morning,
Francie, you're very welcome. I'm going to start with the health run-in that you had, because you've just been telling me about it when you came in to sit down. It's only 9 weeks ago that you had a major surgery.
Yeah, major. I did 9 weeks ago. I had more than half my pancreas removed, and it came about by just innocuously. They were looking for something else. Did a number of scans during the summer last year. I was feeling a bit tired and breathless in myself, and they came upon this by chance, and really I was very lucky. And I suppose the message to people listening in, everybody should be proactive about their health. And and look, the last words he said to me going out the door about 4 weeks ago was, I won the lotto. So I got great care, but really and truly people should, if you think there's not something right, go and sort it out, because I wouldn't have done this if I was farming at home by myself. Just as president of the Irish Farmers Association, I felt it was a higher responsibility, but there's not, the responsibility
really,
should
you
be to your...
You wouldn't have had it checked out if you weren't doing the job that you're
maybe
doing.
Not as proactively. And look, the higher responsibility should be to your partner, your wife and your family. And your friends as well. So look, I'm very lucky it all ends up.
And so 9 weeks ago you had this major surgery where whatever was there was removed. And where are you at now?
He told me, gave me the all clear, but told me to mind myself physically for 6 to 12 months, that you could be 6 months before you're 90% healed inside, and maybe 12 months before you're fully healed up. And the fear would be if you were maybe doing heavy physical work on the farm when you'd be at the weekends, which I might be, that you could end up with a hernia or maybe a burst somewhere, and just, you don't want to be in that space.
Right, so you have to look after yourself for the next while, but other than that, you're good.
Other than that, I have the all clear and I'm really, really, really lucky.
Mm-hmm. So you're robust enough now to come in and do a big interview about everything
indeed
to do with farming. Listen, I want to start with the carbon tax increase, because it comes in today and it has implications for farmers, of course, because green diesel goes up. How is that going to impact?
Well, we've always looked into carbon tax as a tax on rural Ireland, full stop. Whether you're using the fuel to drive your car, to get the kids to school, or to run your farm, run your machinery on farm, there's no other alternative. And when there's not an alternative there, we feel that we're adversely impacted compared to people who have a bus service running by their door, or a Lewis running by their door, or they can walk to it. And it has driven up the cost of doing business. I see it at home with my own contractors. They have to pass on the cost to farmers. And we don't generally have the opportunity to pass it on to somebody else directly. So it's a huge, it always has been a huge issue. I've debated our meetings, and I know there was, you get some of it back through environmental schemes, but we don't feel that we're getting fair bang for
so
a buck there.
So I was reading last night that it adds on overall for contractors 7 million a year, in a full year, which will be what I suppose farmers who are using the contractors are going to have to pay additionally.
Absolutely, and there's no fortune in the contracting business either. I mean, in parts of the country we've lost contractors, and there's an issue around who would actually do the work. And because farms have become more specialist, you tend to specialise now your dairy, your beef or your sheep, or tillage particularly. They mightn't use contractors to the same extent, but certainly in the livestock sector, you tend to use contractors a lot, and the cost is significant. But that's not a criticism of them. They have no choice but to pass on the cost.
And I understand that they have to get paid too. But I suppose it's the polluter pays principle. And if you're using heavy machinery powered by fossil fuel, then that's the deal now, isn't it?
Well, look, that's what they say. But we do something that people can't manage without. We produce food. And we do try to produce it in the most sustainable way possible. And I think there's been a lot of work done on farm and that in the last decade in particular. And look, bottom line, when you see, we'd rather see it incentivised to reduce your emissions than penalised. And we look at a carbon tax as a penalisation of how we do our business.
But you did campaign for an exemption, you didn't
get it. No, we didn't get it.
Okay. Milk and beef prices have been strong though this year, haven't they?
They have. To be fair, look, over the last 12 months in particular, in the livestock sector, beef prices, lamb price, milk price has been good. The tillage sector is very challenged. We managed to get a 30 million scheme to aid tillage farmers last year in the budget. There's a commitment in the programme for government to up that to where our proposals were at €100 per acre over the course of the government's term. And we want to see that honoured again in the budget this year. But overall in the livestock sector, things have been going good. I know you don't often hear farm leaders saying that, but look, the cost for us, and we made this point through a policy paper our chief economist put together, Tadhg Buckley, last year, the cost of doing business in this country is just too high, and it's not just for farmers, it's for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you see it in the restaurant sector as well, you see it in the hospitality sector in general, and across the board, the construction sector. Something needs to be done about that, and all we've done since Britain voted to leave the European Union, and I would have highlighted that myself at that time, is talk about it.
We have the tariff threat as well now, which will affect the dairy exports to the United States. I mean, what are you hearing from the government on what sort of supports will be put in place for farmers?
It's probably too early for that at this stage. We haven't really heard how they're going to support, if they are directly financially, the industry. But there's a 10% tariff there across the board and everybody at the moment, and we have 90 days whenever that's up, probably in a month or two. I'm not sure the exact date, and we'll have to wait and see then. But it does have a big impact on our dairy industry. We put €800-900 million worth of product into America, €500 million worth of Kerrygold butter, and there would be a fear that with the tariffs on that over there, that will be priced off the shelves. And the whisky industry is very, very challenged. The drinks industry is very, very challenged, because a lot of microbreweries are exporting their full product to the States, so they don't have the opportunity to go elsewhere. And there's an issue there about maybe even an oversupply of malt and barley there at the moment, and prices in the grain sector in general have not taken off in the way they should have had to give that sector a chance to be viable. And it's struggling at the moment. The Ukrainian war, the Russian invasion of Ukraine had an adverse effect on grain prices as well, and that hasn't been taken into account. And there would be a feeling across Europe and our own grain farmers that part of the war has been funded off the back of tillage farmers, because we're taking a greater level of imports from the Ukraine and imports in through certain European countries that probably shouldn't be coming from Russia as well.
Well, that was part of the war effort, wasn't it, to help Ukraine to take those
products. But at the same time, European tillage farmers and Irish tillage farmers shouldn't be paying for it in lower prices. And that's why we need that package that we got last year from the government. We need that again in this year's budget, and we need it to be enhanced the way that they've said in the programme.
Well, it sounds like you have a close and good relationship with Martin Hayden, the new minister. I mean, what are the indications you're getting on that front?
It'll be a budgetary issue at the back end of the year.
Right. He's not giving you anything.
They never do. And we have a good relationship in general with the Department of Agriculture, with Charlie McConlogue. He was minister for the full term of the last government, and Martin Hayden's the new minister now. But there are issues there that we would be very, very disappointed in the way the department have handled it, particularly the issue of acres payments. Minister McConlogue made an upfront payment to farmers last year when payments hadn't arrived in time. And we have at the moment heading for 8,000 farmers, I think, that haven't got their acres payments for last year, their balance of payments, their acres payments for last year yet. And that's not good enough. And we'd looked for Martin Hayden as minister to do exactly what Minister McConlogue did last year, and they decided not to. The issue of Gaelic 2 is another one that came up.
So when will they get their acres payment for last year then?
They're working through them week by week at the moment, and there's a commitment there from him that they'll be paid, bar the problem cases, by the end of May. But we believe that that target will probably not be achieved, and that's why we look for the balancing payments similar to last year, the advance payments similar to last year.
When did people get them last year?
They got them around the middle of April. So Minister McConlogue made an upfront payment last year of €4,000 and €5,000 to farmers in those schemes in the cooperation areas and the non-cooperation areas, and they recouped it then through Exchequer funding, and they recouped it then from Brussels
from
at the back end of the year.
His point of view, the better weather, the rising dairy prices, you know, beef is going okay. Probably doesn't see the need for that this year. Is that what they're telling you?
They felt that the problem wasn't as large as last year. And that may be the case. But if you're a farmer that's waiting for 3, 4, 5, in one case we had a call from a farmer who's waiting on €12,000 over 2 years, and that money not there, A lot of those farmers mightn't be selling cattle at this stage, and a lot of them might not be probably in milk production. And the investment in acres is an upfront investment, and you recoup the money over the cost of the over the course of the 5-year scheme. And generally, the payments are paid on a cost incurred or income forgone
so
model.
The money's gone.
You have to invest the money to get it back, and it's not good enough. That scheme has been a disaster, and an upfront. An agricultural scheme that should be a good news story. Every meeting we have around the country since Christmas, it comes up, and it's still an issue. And it's not just in the west of Ireland; it's across the country. And
carbon tax and acres, are they in the top three? Would you say
TB is a huge issue?
Now, I wanted to talk to you about that because Martin Hayden just today has announced this emergency meeting that he's going to have about increasing TB cases. So, what's going on?
There's been a huge increase in the number of TB outbreaks over the course of the last 12 months. In truth, since we went into a vaccination programme for badgers, TB numbers have spiralled.
So what we've done is we've reduced the culling programme and in favour of vaccination.
Absolutely. And there's not enough resources. To be fair, I think the department will be challenged in terms of staff numbers and how to deal with the issue, because that is it's a labour-intensive work. Going to the badger sets, identifying them and vaccinating them, but they know it doesn't work and they're still putting money into it. So it's a huge issue. It's come up time and time again, particularly in the last 9 months. And look, we didn't set preconditions about it, around it. We said that we needed to get in and sit down and discuss it. And we put a really, really good submission in IFA into the Department of Agriculture. We met Martin Hayden on it on Monday, and they acknowledged that. And we got word then yesterday evening that this TB
emergency meeting
is going to happen next week. And look, we need to see the department's proposals first.
So what do you want to see? Increased culling again?
Where you don't have a reduction in wildlife density, you're not going to have a reduction in TB numbers. And there are issues at farm level that need to be changed as well. One in particular, there was a requirement on farmers who purchased cull cows in the mart, when they bring them home, to test them within 30 days or they'd be locked up. And we would believe that before those cows went to the mart, that's when they should have been tested.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see a reversal of that. They will be among the proposals we have. And look, I think we need to sit down together and sort this out. It's costing at government level €100 million a year, at farm level possibly heading for the same. And we have IFAC working on an analysis of the cost at farm level. So like, they need to invest money up front immediately to ensure that down the road this is addressed and it doesn't stay costing the state and farmers that level of money year on year.
Just calling for more culling in the midst of a biodiversity crisis. You'll have the environmentalists now up in arms over that?
Well, I think, to be fair, if you're out and you're walking the hills, you're walking your farm where there are badger sits, there's nothing more distressing than seeing a badger dying from TB.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's about having a healthy badger population as well. It's not just about culling. And look, farmers are, want to see a level of biodiversity on their farms, and over the years, what we've done at farm level has shown that we buy into that. But when you see wildlife dying from infection, forget about the national herd or forget about our dairy herd. That's in its own, it's not even good. But the knock-on effects then at farm level, when you have an outbreak of TB in the farm and the cost incurred, I know people who have gone out of livestock production in the West Wicklow, Kildare area because TB hasn't been addressed over the last 10 to 15 years. But because it's costing the state upwards of €100 million a year now it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be addressed, and we're prepared to go in and sit down. But we do need to see proposals from the department, what they're going to do. And the idea that we're going to go in and on a given day and not be given them till the day and come out with an agreement on that day, that's not going to work. There needs to be a greater level of interaction with us in how we're going to address this. And look at the submission that we put in, which is a really worthy submission
on
this.
It spreads from cow to cow as well, though, doesn't it? Less people think that the poor old badger is at fault for the whole lot. So there are measures, and I think you said this earlier, there are measures that farmers can take that can mitigate against the spread of it.
Yeah, and we're prepared to do that, but we can't We can't do it in isolation. And the idea that there isn't going to be significant investment in how we have a healthier badger population, that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. And a healthier deer population as well.
Listen, I want to talk to you about Mercosur, because the last time you were on, we talked about this, but things have changed so much with Donald Trump's tariffs. I mean, I got the sense from you the last time that pushback against Mercosur, you felt it was going well and there were plenty of colleagues across Europe who were on your side against that deal. Things have shifted, though, because now the message from the EU right from the top is we need to look at other markets, and that includes the Mercosur deal.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I watched the interview from the White House with or the meeting with President Zelensky and President Trump, and straight away I said we're in a changed world. If we didn't know it before then, we should have known it now. But at the same time, why should farmers be a make weight in any trade deal? And I made the point, and it's still valid back then. I made the point back then when I was here with you, and it's still valid. DG Sante did a report in May expressing reservations around how the verification of where this beef and poultry is produced and how it's produced, how it can be verified. And we shouldn't be expected to compete against product from other countries that's not produced on a level playing field.
It's very little though, isn't it? Like, it's 99,000 tonnes across the 27 member states, but you have to put that in context. We export 300,000 tonnes to the UK alone. It's a drop in the ocean what they're going to bring in.
On top of 200,000 tonnes that's already coming in, and there's no doubt that it would be the thin end of the wedge. And all we're saying, we're not against trade deals. For starters, I mean, we export 90% of what we produce, so we need to trade. We just want to see it done on a level playing field. And at the moment, that's not the case. And whether the deal could be revisited and look at the agricultural aspect of it or not, I'm not sure. I think it should be. And I think that they need to be able to bring all the European countries together on this. There are a number of European countries still against it. There's a fair chance...
Have you lost Italy?
We don't know about Italy, but Italy do a huge amount of trade with the United States. They're the second biggest trading partner of EU members that the United States have. So that's a concern.
And but it has changed the view on it, hasn't it? I mean, you have France wobbling now as well, who were very much opposed to it because of how the farmers had protested there.
At COPA level, there's almost total unanimity among, I think, nearly 60 organisations that this deal is bad for farming and that it needs to be renegotiated at worst, and at the moment it should be rejected. And there's a lot of water to go under the bridge still. The legal scrubbings are still going ahead, and it could be the autumn before we have a vote at European Parliament level and member state level, and that will decide. But we're clear. We want to see our government honouring the commitment that's in the programme for government to work with like-minded countries to ensure that this deal in its current form doesn't go ahead.
All right, Francie, we'll leave it there. But thanks for coming in, and continued good health to you as well. Francie Gorman there, President of the IFA.